My co-author is Mike Sporsik, National Wind Erosion Specialist for NRCS, and he's located at Fort Worth, Texas. Today, I want to talk about the implementation process within NRCS, or to get NRCS to actually implement the WEPS model. And this has not got a whole lot to do with the science portion of developing WEPS or the coding required to put WEPS together. It's all of the other things outside of the science end that become a big issue for us to deal with before we could get NRCS to actually implement the model. And so I figured that it would make a good presentation and allow some others to see some of the things that we had to deal with to get them to implement the model. If we start with the WEPS history, it was conceived as a replacement for the wind erosion equation sometime in the mid-1980s, before I started to work for the Wind Erosion Research Unit even. Of course, then it's been in development then for 20-plus years. An awful lot of basic field and laboratory and wind tunnel research went into the work in developing WEPS even before we got started on the coding portion of the problem. And of course, it seems like a long time, but it takes time, of course, to do this kind of stuff, especially on a national scale. And of course, millions of dollars have been spent on wind erosion. Our unit's a small unit, along with the group in Big Spring, Texas, that had done most of the original work related to WEPS, so it takes time when you don't have a lot of individuals working on it. But of course, as Mike says, need for wind erosion control is still strong. We've got lots of areas in the United States that needs to deal with controlling wind erosion. And those areas, besides the northwest portion of the United States that Brenton has mentioned, there's lots of other areas in the United States too. And WEQ doesn't work at all in some of these other regions. The transition from WEQ to WEPS, as I mentioned, wind erosion equation was released in 1965, and NRCS picked it up and adopted it. The original wind erosion equation was the critical period method, essentially validated within the central Great Plains of the United States. NRCS wanted additional functionality from WEQ. They wanted to kind of know what period of the season was susceptible to wind erosion, so there became a management period method where they broke it up by management period. And as Mike had added here into this presentation, those two methods don't give the same wind erosion estimates because they weren't ever intended to. And of course, NRCS then used the critical period method in some cases, management period method in other cases, and they get into these discrepancies between the two versions of WEQ then on what is their long-term annual erosion losses. Also, wind erosion equation didn't work very well, especially in higher rainfall areas, such as coastal regions where they have strong winds, have sandy soils and grow lots of vegetable crops with very little residue. So they're really susceptible to wind erosion, but with the way the wind erosion equation was designed and developed, if you get 40, 50 inches of rainfall a year, you don't get any wind erosion from the wind erosion equation. So wind erosion equation didn't work in that particular region, even in the central part of the United States. For example, the Boot Heel region of Missouri along the Missouri River is another region where there's very sandy soils, and some of their current practices, they would end up getting those sandy soils bare, have problems with wind erosion, but since they used the wind erosion equation for their assessments for conservation plans, they couldn't provide any, farmers with any monetary relief on changing their practices because they didn't have a tool that showed them that. So these were some of their reasons why they were looking for a model that would work better for them. In 2005, we delivered the WEPS model to NRCS for testing and evaluation. At that point, it lacked a complete set of national databases and some other important things, which we'll get into, that NRCS also deemed very important for them before they would implement it in their field offices. So they needed to expand the national databases, and those databases would be a list of tillage operations, harvesting operations, planting operations, those kinds of things, what types of crops that the model is going to be growing. They needed to work with all of their major crops where they have potential for wind erosion, needed to be correctly represented within the model, and they needed to have the management rotation files put together for those regions so that the field offices could pick them up and modify them rather than having to create every management file from scratch. And of course, wind barriers. And in addition to that, they needed better coverage from the climate and wind stations, which we found out also was a very big issue for them to deal with. If we come back and look at WEPS a little bit here, we've got the main interface screen shown here. And from a user's perspective, it's really relatively straightforward for them. They only have to enter four pieces of information. The field information would be the size and the shape and the orientation of that field on the landscape. They select their location, they'll automatically get their climate information by the location that they've selected. And then if they've got a management file already created, they need to select the management file, and then they can select their soil for that location as well, which in the soils is automatically obtained from their Sergo database for their county, or they can go directly and get it over the web from their soil data mart. We also have a management editor that allows them to modify their rotation files for their particular needs, and in essence, it's simply a list of the date that they're going to do an operation on, the name of that operation, and if there's a crop being planted, they need to specify what that crop is to put into the the management file. So from the user's perspective, we think we had done a reasonably good job of providing them with the minimal level of inputs in a simple fashion for them to be able to use it. The results from the model provides information about the simulation conditions and the erosion results, and then there's additional information too, but concentrating primarily here on the erosion. With the wind erosion equation, essentially it gives them a long-term average annual erosion, which WEPS, of course, will do. But we also break it out by size cuts, so if we want to know the amount of creep and saltation soil loss, we can give them that information, how much of that material that's moving out of the field that is suspension, and also the PM10 fraction of that suspension load as well. And in this case here, we have a two-year rotation, so we can get the information here by the individual rotation years for that particular run that was made here. If we look at databases, mentioned we had to deal with expanding those databases. If we look at the operations, currently now WEPS has roughly 300 plus operations that can be used to simulate tillage, harvest, grazing, spraying, and manure applications. So we have essentially a complete set of operations that are used in wind erosion prone areas. Currently, WEPS also has 235 crop records. It allows them to model to simulate the growing of those crops in all 50 states, including Hawaii and Alaska now. With management files, originally there were a lot of template files created when they brought on Russell II into NRCS, and we've taken those template files from Russell II and converted them to work as WEPS template files. So there's over 25,000 of those available to NRCS users. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the soil is coming from NRCS's Soil Data Mart website by default or from their Sergo database files if they've downloaded them on their machines. WindGen and ClyGen, we have two climate generators generating the climate information. ClyGen provides the precipitation, solar radiation, and air temperature data, but the hourly wind speed information, or the daily wind speed information provided by ClyGen is not accurate enough to be useful for us from a wind erosion perspective, so we have our own wind generator called WindGen. So we have two generators that are generating the climate information. The WindGen data, we originally, back in 2005, had around 1,050 wind stations. All of this is airport data and was reviewed by NRCS, and they rejected about 300 of those stations, primarily because it's airport data. In your larger cities, you may have 3, 4, or 5 stations that are within a 20 or 30 mile radius, and to reduce confusion from the end user of which station should we use for a particular location, we've eliminated all of those extra stations and they get one station for those particular areas. There's also was some that were rejected because they didn't have a long enough length of record for the wind data, or was completely different characteristics than anticipated based upon a surrounding stations as well. We've also added back 23 new WindGen stations developed from the NAR, the National or the North American Regional Reanalysis data set for the western states, because we had absolutely no station in some of these agricultural areas. And we needed to get a station created there, and that got done. With ClyGen, started with 2,658 climate stations. Again, there were also some ClyGen stations that were missing in the western United States, so we used the Forest Service's Rock Climb website to create those additional stations in regions that didn't have it. We also quality checked the original ClyGen data sources and rebuilt the ClyGen database. Originally, WEPS was configured to select the nearest WindGen record based upon location. NRCS tested WEPS in many locations. They found sharp differences when the model switched to another WindGen station. So that meant a farmer using the same soil management may see a large change in erosion if he crossed the road and picked up a different WindGen station, if he happened to cross that wind station boundary. To alleviate those issues, we developed a weighted average method using data from the three adjacent wind record locations, and that generates a new interpolated record for each location and smoothed those results that they would get as they moved around from location to location. Of course, they still have small differences in erosion results as location change due to the interpolation creating a new WindGen station for each unique location. And NRCS still felt that that would be a problem, so we decided to use the center of each county for the interpolation location and use that generated WindGen station for all locations within the county. They've accepted that approach, as the erosion changes now occur only at the county boundaries, and that's been acceptable to them. We refined the WindGen stuff a little bit more. There were some exceptions. Dr. Greg Johnson, the NRCS climatologist, who happens to be here today, didn't want NRCS to use the closest station or an interpolation of the wind in the western U.S. when you have orographic effects due to mountainous terrain and very sparse coverage of WindGen stations to use for interpolation, that they're just so far apart the interpolation would not be feasible. So NRCS developed polygons for particular regions and assigned the WindGen stations that they felt was best representative for those locations. And they also did a similar process in the west for the ClyGen stations. Other important stuff we've dealt with in the last 5 years, runtime issue. NRCS felt that the runtime was too long, so we've incorporated the WEP hydrology into WEPs. That speeded up our model significantly, but it took us about a year to address all of the issues of changing to a less sophisticated hydrology model to get it integrated and tested. Interface issues dealt with. We reduced the number of buttons on the main interface. We changed the default selection mechanisms to drop-down lists rather than file chooser lists. Revised the summary report, and we generate PDF copies of all the WEPs reports for their use. Of course, mentioned that we weren't doing very much on the science end. Made some minor adjustments to the science code here recently. We've dealt with the science code for growing winter crops. Had some issues with winter wheat due to deficiencies in the crop growth model. But those are really the only two issues we've dealt with from the science side in the model. NRCS also wanted the soil condition index added to the model. It has nothing to do with wind erosion, but they wanted it in the model so that they were not required to run the Russell 2 model in regions that don't have water erosion issues. So, and also NRCS has a CCE certification. We went through that process. It's a long process on their part. It's a black box from my perspective. They don't tell me what they actually review, but we failed it the first time around because of permission problems on a directory and had to turn around and go through it a second time around. But NRCS has been trained on the state level here this last year, and those field office staff that have been trained are now training their field office personnel. NRCS has the WEPS policy. It should be coming out very soon within their agency. NRCS has pushed WEPS out this last Friday to their entire agency, and they will have 2 months then to begin using it once it's installed, which it has been now on their field office computers. So in summary, it's taken many years to develop the next generation of the model. It's taken several additional years of hard work to make it fully acceptable for use by NRCS on a national scale. And we feel they've now got the best process-based wind erosion model available for work on their croplands. Thank you.